psalm in the entire Bible. Of course, that's Psalm 119. And this Psalm 119 is just an incredible celebration of the Word of God. Matter of fact, it's not only the longest psalm, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. And many, many people believe that David was the author. We're not told, but there's a good possibility that David was the one who penned this great psalm. And what's interesting now is that nearly every verse is concerned with the celebration or the praise to the Word of God. Maybe there might be two that are not, okay? And so we have 176 verses. And what's unique about this psalm is divided into 22 sections, within every section there are 8 verses. Did you catch that? 22 sections in this psalm, and there are 8 verses in each section, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So every section begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's just unique in everything that it does here. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that we know that in the Greek alphabet, you know, the Alpha, the Omega, who is that? Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the A all the way to the Z. In other words, He is everything that we could possibly ever need. Amen? So as we look at our text tonight, let me give you an example, if you will, to try to make it more simple and on this alphabetical listing here. So, you know, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet is, it starts with, let's see, Aleph, okay, or something. Thomas, he knows Hebrew and Greek. I just get by. Does that make sense? But anyway, the first letter there, let me break it down from another version of the Bible, a different translation, to give you an example. So look at verse 1, for example, and let me read it to you in another translation. It starts out with our alphabet. It would be A, okay? A blessing is on them that are undefiled in the way. Verse 2. A blessing is on them that keep His testimonies. Verse 3. Also on them that do no wickedness. Verse 4. A law hast thou given unto us. Do you see what I'm talking about now? So for the first 8 verses, we're going to be able to be the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, it has been said that Psalm 19, let me quote here, says it's called the alphabet of divine love, the paradise of all doctrines, the storehouse of the Holy Spirit, the school of truth, and the deep mystery of the Scriptures, where the whole moral discipline of all the virtues shines brightly. Johannes Paulus Praetorius is the one who penned that. What's interesting is that, you know, it's like I said, 8 verses per section, 22 sections that we're going to be covering. Isn't it interesting that the psalmist, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is using 8 verses? 8 is the number of what? New beginning, amen? You know, so how many people went into the ark? 8 people. Was it a new beginning? They left the old world. They went into the new world. The Jewish males, the young children, they were circumcised on the 8th day. Jesus rose from the dead on the 8th day, which is Sunday, amen? The first day of the week. And so the Psalm 19 or 119, when we go through it, it has all these different synonyms, if you will, for God's Word. Let me just give you a few. This is an introduction, okay? So law is mentioned 25 times, testimonies 22 times, sayings 19 times, way or the way 11 times, precepts 21 times, path 5, statutes 21, commandments 22, judgments 23, and the word is used 39 times in these 176 verses. Now, with all that being said, all of those words point to one thing, and that is the Word of God. Amen? Now, listen, God's Word is the greatest gift ever given unto man. Amen? Except the indescribable gift, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, to have God's Word from heaven, written from loved one, it just should blow us all away. You know, the psalmist has said in Psalm, 138:2, verse 2, he says this. He says, "For you, O Lord, you have magnified your word above all your name." Think about that. That is how serious, that's how precious the word of God is to he himself. He's exalted it above his very name, meaning all that his name implies. And loved one, listen, no matter what we face in this life, and we will face many ups and many downs, amen? But the truth of the matter is that we can build our entire life on the faithfulness and the integrity of God's holy word. Amen? Our God is a God who cannot lie, never lie. Man can lie, but God cannot lie at all. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew's Gospel 24:35, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." You know what that means? It means that the words of Jesus, our Lord, are more certain than the universe that we see at night. Think about that. If you're going to build your life, then build your life on the certain, sure word of God. Amen? It can be trusted. So Psalm 119, let's begin with the letter A, if you will, Aleph, there in Psalm verse 1. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Isn't it great that this psalm, the longest psalm in the Bible, begins with the word blessed? You know that word? I know you know what it means. It means, oh, how happy. Oh, how fortunate. It means to be envied, if you will. Or it even means, oh, how joyful are the undefiled. That word simply means those that are truly sincere. The word actually is translated as blameless. And then it says, in the way, not our way, but God's way. And it says, who walk, look at it now, who walk in the law of the Lord. That simply means the lifestyle of every believer. And the word law simply means the instruction of the word of God. Listen, God's word teaches us how to live. Amen? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And if, you know, if we don't go to God's word, you know what we're doing? We're just existing in this world. God wants us to live in this world. Now, look at the second blessing here. There's a double blessing as we study in these verses. It says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him," and look how we do it, "with the whole heart." The second blessing, oh, how happy, oh, how joyful, oh, how fortunate are those who keep. That word means to obey. You obey the word of God, and the only way you can obey the word of God is by applying the word of God. Amen? Not just a hearer of the word of God, but a doer of the word of God. And it says, those who keep his testimonies, which again, it just means God's word. The word keep means that we protect God's word. We hide it. We put it into our heart. We guard it. In order to keep God's word, you have to go get God's word, right? Amen? Are you all with me tonight? Listen, I can't see you. They gave me new contacts today. And this is so weird. I feel like I'm in another church, you know, because some of you kind of really are clear, and then some of you are like, I don't even know who you are, man. Are you visiting? So it's got all this different stuff, and they're floating, and they're weighted down, and, you know, you have a lot of, you know why? This is called pride. Pride, yes. I just need to go get those big glasses back on, you know? They're only that thick. What verse am I on? Oh, here it goes. Let's read it again. Blessed are those who keep, who apply, who obey his word, who seek him with a whole heart. Man, listen, you know something? If we renew our minds to God's word, you know, here's what happens. Listen, like I said, in order to keep, God's Word, first of all, you have to get God's Word. You have to renew your mind. You have to study the Word of God. You have to love to study Scripture and read the Bible and so forth. But I know this, if you keep God's Word will keep you, amen? And it truly will. Obedience to the Word of God is the key to living. And I'll tell you something, if you keep God's Word alive or fresh every day in your heart and minds, you know what's going to happen? If you don't do that, listen, the last verse of Psalm 119 tells us why we need to do it. Let me read it to you. The last verse of Psalm 119, which is Psalm 176, he says this. If it's David, it's David speaking. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And listen to what he says. Oh, he says, seek your servant. He could go after him, find him, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I am so thankful tonight. Jesus said, for the Son of Man did not come but to seek and to save those that are lost. Amen. And I'm glad that the good shepherd, he goes out. If there's a sheep and that sheep gets lost, does the good shepherd go get him? Amen. And that's what he's doing for us as well. Now look at verse 2 again. It says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart, not half of a heart. Did you know to seek the Lord with a half of a heart? Do you think that might insult the Lord? Of course it would. How would you like to, you know, tell your wife, I love you, but it's only with half of your heart? You know what you'd get? A buoy, huh? No. No, listen. It says, oh, how happy, how fortunate, how joyful are those who seek God himself, to find him, to have fellowship with him, to have intimacy with him. Listen, I can assure you that the Lord, he wants you to find him. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, is it impossible to please God? For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently come after him, who diligently seek him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jeremiah the prophet writes in Jeremiah 29:13, and God says, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me. That's that determined search, a determination, a determined spirit. When you search for me, with all your heart. So there in verse 2, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're commanded, the great commandment, to love God with all of our heart. Amen? And here it tells us that we are to seek the Lord himself with all of our heart. Why is that? All of our heart. Two reasons, okay? The first reason is only the heart can find God. Did you know that? Only the heart can find God. God is spirit, amen? Yes, God dwells in unapproachable light. No man has seen him. Listen, you know, the only way we can find the Lord is right here. And you know what? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? The Lord is in us right this very minute. And the second reason is that we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, seek the Lord with all of our heart, is because that pushes everything out of the way. It makes it where there's no room for any other thing but the Lord. Amen? Remember the parable of the sower, and Jesus told us in Mark 4:18, he says, now these are the ones that are sown among the thorns. And remember, sowing means sowing the word of God. And he said, these are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word right out of you. It says it becomes unfruitful. What does the devil do whenever the word of God is being broadcast, a word of God is being sown into the hearts of the people? What does the Bible say about those that are on the wayside or the hard-hearted people? You know what it says? It says that Satan comes immediately when the word is sown, and he steals that word. He takes that word out of a person's heart. Yes, that's a tragedy, amen? Oh, listen, sound happiness is a result of a sound heart which produces a sound walk, loved one. Look at verse 3 with me. And they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. In other words, one translation translates that word, they do no iniquity, as they do no wrong. Well, we know that we do wrong at times, amen? But we don't want to do wrong. We don't want to intentionally or willfully or knowingly do wrong. We don't want to do those things. So what does that verse mean? It means that that is not our common lifestyle to go out and live that way. Amen? Yes, we want to serve the Lord. So our lifestyle, it's not, it's his way, not our old way, if you will. Spurgeon said this about this verse. He said, the surest way to abstain from evil is to be fully occupied with doing good. That's a good word, amen? He says, you've commanded us in verse 4 to keep your precepts, how? Diligently. That means fully. It means not halfway or partially. Literally, the word means to keep your precepts or keep your word carefully. Listen, that's a good word, because to obey God's word, loved one, it requires careful obedience. It really, really does. We can get caught off guard at any time, can't we? Yeah, listen, you know, obeying God's word just doesn't happen by accident. You have to carefully plan to do that, don't you? You know, you wake up in the morning, you know there's the flesh, there's the devil, you know what I mean, and this world that's against us. And so right here, you carefully plan to do those things. And it says to keep your precepts diligently. So we're not commanded to be making a bunch of precepts up or a bunch of rules. We're commanded to be keeping his. He says, oh, now look what happens here. He's turning to prayer. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep or to obey your word or your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. You know, the old nature, what we used to be in Adam, we know that our old man has been dethroned. I call him the slave, because he loves to be in slavery, because that's all he's ever known, amen? He's a slave to sin, he's a slave to lust, whatever. But the old man has been dethroned. We reckon him dead, even though he tries to come up and get on the throne of our heart again. But the thing is, he is always opposed to God's way. He's never in agreement with God, the old man, because the old man is selfish, okay, and self-centered. But I thank God tonight, you know what, that the Holy Spirit is directing our path, amen? Are we led by the Spirit? It says those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God, amen? Are we filled with the Spirit? Amen. It says, be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled, if you will, with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a command. Ephesians 5:18 is a command, by the way. And not only that, we walk in the Spirit, and the promise is if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, I'm so thankful for that, that we have the power of another working in us. And listen, look at verse 6 again. It says, then I would not be ashamed. You know, sin brings shame, doesn't it? And sometimes, you know, tonight we're going to be celebrating communion. And we look back at what the Lord has done. We look within our hearts and examine ourselves. You know, and shame, boy, it's, you know, guilt is something that keeps on giving. Have you ever noticed that? Or the past, something from the past, it comes up and you say, oh, Lord, that just so troubles me. I'm so sorry. But see, you're forgiven over that. Did you know God has forgiven you? Amen? Y'all help me tonight. I need your help because I can't see you. Look like a, never mind, Lord, I'm not going to say it. No, listen, I pray tonight that this scripture burns in your heart. Let me read it to you from 1 John 4:17. John the Apostle, he writes, he says, love has been perfected or matured or brought to completion among us in this. Okay, John, in what? He says that we, that's all of us tonight, the servants of the Lord, the living sacrifices of the Lord, here we are on the altar of God. Amen? He says, oh, that we may have boldness. When? Are you ready for this? Lord, when are we to have boldness? John's getting ready to tell us. He says, in the day of judgment. Think about that for a moment. You know what the day of judgment is? It's the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards. Amen? Now listen, it says, oh, love has been matured or completed or perfected in us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And he's going to tell us why. Because as Jesus is, present tense, as Jesus is, so are we in this world right this moment. Think of that. He says, oh, therefore, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. All the shame, all the guilt, we have all been there. We know what it brings. Loved one, but listen, the believer, we need never fear. We never need to be tormented about the day of judgment. You know why? Jesus took our judgment on the tree, on the cross. Amen. He took our place. Oh, listen, you know, our judgment is never going to be future, because it happened 2,000 years ago in the past. Jesus took our place. Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, thank God. Therefore, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Jesus said in John 5:24, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And here it comes, a promise from the very lips of our Lord. He says, and shall not come into judgment. Did you hear that? You'll not, see, he paid for it, amen? He says, you'll not come into judgment, but you have passed from death or out of death into life. Praise God for that word. The reason that we have boldness, loved one, on that day, and the reason that we have boldness when we go to the throne of grace, that confidence, listen, the reason we can do that is just what I just read. As Jesus is right this minute, so are we right this minute in this world. Amen? That is our position. That is our standing in the eyes of Almighty God. That is our standing in this world. And it is just like Jesus' exalted position that he holds right this minute in heaven. Man, our sin, our shame has been judged, and our shame is gone. Jesus is not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Think about that. Man, tambourine should be going off right now. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. So now he goes from prayer, now he goes into praise, but look what he says. When I learn your righteous judgments. But you know what? We can praise the Lord right now. We don't have to wait until when. You know why? Because there's only one person the Christian must learn, and that is Jesus Christ. The only thing we must unlearn is our old way of life. Amen? And by renewing of our minds. It says in Ephesians 4:20, Paul writes and he says, but you, and there's a contrast there when he writes that, in contrast with those that are lost, okay? He says, but you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and you've been taught by him as the truth which is in him or resides in him, and the truth is him. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the life, the truth. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. It says you have not learned, or you have learned Christ. That doesn't mean that Scripture's not saying that you learn about the Lord. In other words, Jesus 101, you get all the facts down, the virgin birth and all the rest of that, and born in Bethlehem. Of course, that's important, but that's not what that verse is teaching at all. That's much, much more than doctrine, which is so needed, and facts. Oh, listen, this right here, when it says, you have not so learned Christ, that means to know him intimately. What did Paul the Apostle say in Philippians, was it 3:10? That I may know, that's ginosko, that I may know him. That means experience him, have fellowship with him, to know Jesus intimately. Oh, listen, to know the Lord, to learn the Lord is to be like the Lord. Amen. Oh, here we are. We're being conformed right now. All of us. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ. Now listen, we are right this minute, whether you believe it or not, if you are truly in Christ Jesus, you are right now being conformed into his image. Amen? Conformed into his image. The Bible says that we are being transformed into the same image of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. He's by the power of another. Listen, that's Christ-likeness, and that's exactly what's happening in our life right now. You know, when it says there, it says, when I learn your righteous judgments. Well, you know what? What we do, we're New Testament. That's Old Covenant there. We've already learned a person, haven't we? Or we're continuing to learn a person. And there's only one way to really learn Jesus. You have to take his yoke, don't you? And not only do you have to take his yoke, you have to know Jesus' heart. You know, to learn Christ is an ongoing process we call sanctification. Again, going from glory to glory. But Jesus himself, as you already know, he has invited every believer to learn of him and learn from him. Let me give you the scripture. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And here it comes. This is a command, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, study me, be like me. You know, whenever you'd have a yoke, you know, and you'd have remember the oxen and so forth, and you'd take an older, experienced oxen, and he would be right here, and then you'd take a younger oxen or whatnot, and you'd put that yoke on him a little loosely because you'd be jerking him around. In other words, training him and all of those things. It says, you learn from me. He says, here it comes. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Remember what I told you the yoke was? The yoke that we're commanded to take? It's the lowly heart of Jesus. That's what we're to do. In other words, Jesus says, here's what I want you to yoke up with. Here's what I want you to take. I want you to learn of me, and the only way you can do it is by taking my heart. Oh, listen, Jesus said, learn from me. If we all is living sacrifices on the altar of God, if every one of us in this place called Calvary would become a student of Jesus' heart, do you think we might look at everything differently? Oh, loved one, man, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, that's what I want. In other words, if we're going to learn Jesus, you know what we have to do? We have to get rid of this mind, and we have to have his mind. What does it say? It's a command. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know what? When we have his mind, and the Bible says in Corinthians that the church, that we are the depository of the mind of Christ, that we have his mind. When we think like Jesus, we act like Jesus, we react like Jesus, that means that when we have his mind, we're going to love like the Lord, forgive like the Lord. Amen. We're going to look upon others and our heart's going to break because it's Jesus' heart. We're a student of his heart. Whatever breaks his heart now breaks our heart. Amen? That's what this is all about, loved one. Now listen, only as we follow Jesus, only as we are really servants of the Lord, only then do we experience the heart of Christ. There's no other way. If you don't and I don't, if we don't follow the Lord, if we're not going down the narrow way, if we're not coming after him, traveling with him, if you will, how in the world can we experience Christ, his heart? You can't. We have to go with him and follow him, and that's how it all comes about. And then, loved one, man, you're talking about experiencing the heart of Christ. You definitely will do so. Look at verse 8. He says, I will keep your statutes, or I will obey your word. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. What does he say? What does that mean? Do not forsake me utterly. It means this, loved one. He's saying, Lord, without you, without your strength, without your help, man, I can't do what's right, and neither can we. Amen? Oh, we have to, the Lord, he's the one who empowers us to do all these things. So that verse, verse 8, that concludes the A, if you will, in the Hebrew alphabet right here. But may I say this to you? Will Jesus ever forsake you? Will he ever relax his hold upon you? Will he ever leave you without support? Never. What are we worried about? Listen, when you travel with the Lord, he has a hold of you the whole time. But the draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Amen? So all we have to do is just travel with the Lord and so forth. And you've heard me say that 1,000 times, that he will never relax his hold upon you. I say that to myself nearly every day. You've got me. You've got me, Lord. The Bible says that God has inscribed us on the palm of his hand. Amen? That is permanent. Have you ever cut your hand? This side doesn't know. Have you ever cut your hand?
Yes.
You know what happened one time? I think I may have told you this story, but now at my age, it doesn't matter. I forget. It's all new to me. I don't know if it was Valentine's Day. I don't really know if it was Becky's birthday. I don't really know when it was. But it was something special because I stopped at the cheapest flower place. No, I'm sorry. I stopped to get flowers, man, and I had a beautiful one of those glass vases, and I, you know how you cut the bottoms, you know, and you put that stuff in it to make them live longer? Isn't it funny? They're dead. The flowers are not alive. They're dead. Do you understand that? And so you put them in there, and as I did that, I was putting the water in at the kitchen faucet, the sink, and I moved this way when I did. That big vase split in two. Cut my hand wide open. I went, oh, and blood went all, and my cabinets are white, all over the, blood, all over the counter, all over the kitchen floor. You know what I mean? And so I'm going, oh, and then it was all over me, and, you know, and I'm just, I mean, blood all over the refrigerator. It was horrible. And so what did I do? I got a towel, and I wrapped it around my hand, and I called my doctor. He says, well, Bill, we can't do stitches. I said, you're my doctor. He says, no, you have to go to the emergency room. So did I clean up that mess? No. I go to the emergency room. You know, my phone was still there, you know, and everything. And all that blood's in, my wife comes in. Ah! You know, my husband is dead, you know. I don't know why I told you that. I'm sure it had something to do with this sermon. But I know this, Jesus will never relax his hold upon you. He will never forsake us. But you know what Jesus cried from the cross? Remember Psalm 22, verse 1? When he cried out and he said, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know that's the only time that Jesus on the cross ever called God God instead of Father? Do you know why? Because that was you and me on the cross. Do you understand? God wasn't our father. Does that make sense? And he was taking our place as a sinner, even though he had never sinned. I hope you remember that tonight when you lift that cup in your hand, whenever you hold it in your hand and the bread and so forth, when we remember him, when Jesus said, oh, please, don't ever forget all the things that I've done for you. You know, God is so, so good to us, loved one. Listen, I'm gonna go to the letter B in the Hebrew alphabet. It's pronounced bet, okay? And I'm going to ask that the ushers come, go ahead and start getting communion served to the people here. But let me just go through it quickly because it's only just a couple of verses. It says, how can a young man, and I should say, how can any person cleanse his way? How can a person get right? How can a person stay right? Here it comes. By taking heed according to your word, God's word. Listen, man, here's the deal. You know, if we heed God's word, then the Bible has to be our guide. It has to be our compass. It says, with my whole heart, I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You know, it's one thing to memorize God's word and hide it in our heart, but we have to do more than just memorize God's word. Amen? We have to believe God's word and apply God's word. He goes, oh, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. You know what happens when we heed the word of God and we hide the word of God in our hearts? We share the word of God with other people. Amen? And that's what he's saying. You see, when you fill up your heart with the word of God, what did Jesus say about the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You fill your heart with the word of God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to speak the word of God to other people. He says, oh, I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much in all your riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes or in your word, oh God. And I will not forget your word. Man, listen. He says, I will rejoice in the way of your word as much as in all riches. God's word is a treasure. Amen? It's a treasure. Man, listen, and we should rejoice over the word of God as a treasure, as finding great treasure. The Bible tells us that all the treasures in Colossians 3:2, all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Our Lord. Oh, God is so good. Now, with all of that being said tonight, we're going to do three things. We're going to look back, we're going to look forward or ahead, and then we're going to look within as we prepare our hearts for communion. You know, the Bible tells us about communion and that, you know, tonight, let's make sure our mind is right. In other words, we are his servants. Amen? Remember what I said Sunday. We are his servants. We are God's remnant that he has chosen to rebuild this place called Calvary Chapel. Amen? This place has become an altar of God. Relaunch, I'm never going to say that word. In Jesus' name, I pray again, because we are in rebuild, okay? And this is an altar of God, and guess what we are? We are his living sacrifices. Tonight, you know, as we celebrate communion, remember that this is not a ritual. This is just not something that you do. No, no, no. This is deep fellowship. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is he here? He's here right this moment. Well, you know, well, I don't feel him. It doesn't matter whether you feel him or not. He is here. He is here with us. And we are being obedient as the family of God. We're partakers of the divine nature of God. So as we fellowship tonight in oneness, let's look back together. Let me read the scripture. Paul writes and says that when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said this, take, eat, "This is my body, which is broken for you." You know, "Do this," he said, "in remembrance of me." Isn't it sad that Jesus had to say that? Don't forget me. That's literally what it means. Don't forget me. Don't forget all that I've done for you. Listen, when we look back, we need to see Jesus. He took our place. He is our substitute. Amen? Whenever Jesus died, we died. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. When Jesus ascended, we ascended with him. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies right this very moment. That is our spiritual position as far as God is concerned. We're right there with our Lord. So we then look ahead. "In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, 'Take this cup, the new covenant of my blood, and this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim," or you preach literally, "the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. Jesus is coming again. He really is. The next great worldwide event could be the catching away of the church. Amen? Boy, it's no wonder Jesus said, "Watch therefore, be ready, for you do not know the hour or the day when he's coming back." We need to be ready. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, if we were driving home and all of a sudden we were gone. Think about that. Look at all, like, people just come get our cars. And now we need to look within. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," meaning a man, woman, all of us. "So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So tonight, we at the altar of God, and here we are, the family of God. Here we are, the body of Christ. Lord God, tonight, we are living sacrifices. We, your servants. We are the one. We follow you. We want to follow you. We want to serve you. Tonight, we look within. Oh, Lord God, if we have aught against anyone, forgive us. If we've sinned by word, deed, thought, action, grieved, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any way, we look within. And we say, oh God, in Jesus' name, forgive us. Oh Lord, we truly want to be, desire to be, your living sacrifices. We've placed our heart and our faculties and our body, Lord, upon your altar to be used by you. So Lord, we look back and we know that you died in our place. We look ahead, Lord, and know that you're coming for us. And we know that the bread, you are indeed the bread of life. In this cup, the cup of the new covenant, we know that your blood was shed and our sins are not only forgiven, they are as far as the east is from the west. We thank you. And what we do now, oh God, we do all in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the bread. Father, tonight, by drinking this cup, we proclaim Jesus' death until he comes back. Oh, Lord, thank you that this table, the Lord's table, is temporary. And in this cup that we hold is the final sacrifice for all mankind. Oh God, thank you. What we do now, we do in remembrance of our Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, let us partake. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for this year. August is now over. Oh, it's been so fast, Lord. It's been so quick. Lord, I pray as we move into a new month, into September, Lord, we thank you for rebuild that's happening. We thank you, Lord, that every ministry at Calvary has now become your altar. And that, Lord, all of us, we're here just to serve you and to glorify Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless your sheep tonight, O Father. Give them safe passage all the way home. I pray that their slumber is so sweet and they wake up so refreshed in the morning that they have certainly a spring in their spiritual steps. Give them your mouth, Lord, to speak to others. Let us never be afraid to share Jesus Christ to anyone. Now, Lord, we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? If you need prayer, we're going to close with a song, and whenever the song is over, there'll be people here at the altar to pray with you. I pray you have a wonderful week, and the Lord bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Jesse, take us home.